All right, if you have a Bible, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're physically able and don't mind, would you stand with me as I read just one verse to you tonight? Verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The message of the cross, foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, there is nothing like the message of the cross. It is power to our lives. Amen? Amen. Father, we just invite you in the next few minutes as we consider together tonight the message of the cross. God, may you speak it into our hearts anew and afresh. Lord, I know the vast majority of people in this sanctuary tonight, they know you, they love you. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't, I pray tonight would be the night they'd surrender their life to you. But most of us do know you and love you, and yet I think it is so good for us on occasion to consider the message of the cross. What is your cross saying to us? What should it provoke within us as a response? God, by your word and by your Holy Spirit, would you speak these things into our lives tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, messages are all around us. We are constantly trying to communicate to one another. I know my wife is constantly trying to communicate to me. She, you know, you got something on your face. And I don't quite get it. I think this is sign language in her mind for, I love you. So I see her do that and I think, I love you too, babe. It's amazing. I haven't quite mastered the fact she shows up and she says, is anything in my teeth? And I say, what's wrong with your teeth? That's the wrong response, by the way. That is not how you're supposed to handle that supposed to be subtle message from your bride. Phil, you're just weeks into your own marriage. Let me help you with that, brother. When she says, something in my teeth, you just go, no. They look, unless there is something, then you help her. But the reality is, she doesn't want you to say, what about your teeth? That is not what she's looking for. You are missing the message. Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that the cross is communicating to all of mankind. The cross is communicating to us a message. And if we can look at it, if we can consider it, what is it saying to us? Paul tells us that human beings really have one of three reactions to the message of the cross. He tells us right there that the Gentiles see it as foolishness. When they see the cross, they say, what? Your king, your long-awaited Messiah, your God allowed himself to be arrested? Your God allowed himself to be nailed to a cross? Your God died? What kind of God is that? It's foolishness to them. Paul tells us later in the same chapter that the Jews, they saw the message of the cross as a stumbling block. You see, they had a little more understanding than the Gentiles. They knew that Jesus was at least claimed to be. They didn't really believe it or buy it, but they knew he was claiming to be the Lamb of God. And the Jews were very familiar with every lamb they would offer. They were offering a lamb because they were saying, I'm not perfect. I need help. I can't keep the law perfectly. And Jesus dying is the ultimate stance. You can't do it. You cannot get to heaven on your own. And the Jews, they saw that as a stumbling block. We can do it. We don't need a savior. They were stumbled by what the cross was saying. But hopefully to you and I, when we consider, when we look at, when we contemplate the message of the cross, our response to be, that message is power to my Christian life. That message is dynamite to my walk with God. But why would the message of the cross be power to you and me? What is the message of the cross? Well, it speaks many things, but I just want us to contemplate three quick things tonight. I think, first of all, the message of the cross is that God hates sin. God hates sin. When I look at the cross, when I contemplate it, when I think about all that took place on that hill far away outside the gates of Jerusalem, it speaks to my heart about how God really feels about sin. He hates it. You do know that there are things that God hates, right? The book of Proverbs opens up, or Proverbs chapter 6 opens up by saying, these six things the Lord hates. God absolutely hates sin. It's not a casual thing to him. It's not a take it or leave it or I don't care. No, our Lord and Savior hates sin. And it's so important for every one of us to hear, because the world we live in, sometimes the families we're from, they sugarcoat sin. Oh, that's just boys being boys. It's just girl talk. It's not really gossip. Oh, we deserve to be bitter. We deserve to hold on to unforgiveness. You don't know, Pastor. You don't know what I went through, and I don't. But God looks at you and I when we decide to act in a way contrary to his word, when we start to talk about other people in a way that tears them out, when we won't release to him the bitterness and the unforgiveness. Don't get me wrong. God loves you, but he hates that sin in your life. He hates it because it sees what it does to you. He sees how it tears you apart. We need to retrain our mind. We've got to put out of our mind how the world feels about sin, how maybe even you and your own flesh feel about sin. And we have got to consider the message of the cross. God hates sin. What it does is disgusting. Look at what it did to him. He was beaten so severely, the book of Isaiah tells us, that they couldn't even recognize him as a man. They put his arms around a beam and took a cat of nine tails and began to beat him. And I don't want to get too graphic tonight, but parts of his back would have been separated by that whip. So in agony was he that then they put a crossbeam on him, made him walk through the streets of Jerusalem. And our Jesus, the one that never had a kind word, unkind word to anybody, one that had never done anything to make someone hurt, he was completely different than you and I who do those things on occasion. And people spit at him and mocked him and laughed him as he carried that cross. And then because of the beatings he endured, he couldn't even do that. And they had to compel Simon the Cyrene to take it the rest of the way. And there on Calvary, they attached him to that cross by putting nails into his hands, severing his median nerve. Then a nail through his ankles, and he would have to then press himself up on the nail on his ankle bone to get every breath. And eventually my Jesus and your Jesus died of suffocation after taking on my sin and your sin. That very small description of what happened to Jesus on the cross is what I want you to think about when you think about what sin really is, what it looks like to God. It is not something to be laughed at, something to be tolerated. No, you and I need to consider the message of the cross. We need to see what Jesus endured. And also notice who it was that was doing it to Jesus. I mean, yes, we can say it was the Romans. The Romans were actually crucifying him. We can say it was the Jews because the Jews said, crucify him, crucify him. And yes, of course, it was my sin and your sin that put Jesus on the cross. Absolutely. But the Bible says over and over again that it was God who did this to Jesus. He was not just a casual observer. It says in Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It says in Matthew 27, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus saying it was God who did this to him. Why? Why would the Bible declare this? Why would God do this to his son? The answer is that Jesus was dying for the sins of the world. And you see on the cross how God really feels about sin. He hates it. He hates what it does. He hates what it produces. He hates what it costs. That is the message of the cross. The message of the cross, as I consider it, as we look at it, is that God hates sin. But secondly, get it into your heart and mind tonight. The next message of the cross we have to come to grips with is not just that God hates sin, but the message of the cross is that God keeps his promises. What do I mean? Look at the cross. I see that he hates sin, yes, but I see him fulfilling his promise to punish it. God said through the apostle Paul, the wages of sin is what, friends? Death. The result of us sinning, going against God, it is death. Now, because God promised that's the way it was, that is what had to happen. Because God is holy and righteous, he can't just forgive sin and sweep it under the rug just because he wants to. He cannot turn the other way and choose to do nothing about it. Church, his holiness, his righteousness would not allow that. What I'm saying is his nature wouldn't allow it. God knew he must punish sin, and yet, because of the other equally powerful nature of God, mainly his love and his grace, God knew sin must be punished, but God said, it is I that will take the place of man on the cross. As his word declared, surely he himself has borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Oh, church, get out of your mind what I sometimes erroneously hear. Oh, the cross. What an act of child abuse. Why couldn't God stand in there and take it himself? Please remember, as Christians, we do not believe in three gods. We believe in one God that exists eternally as three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God himself declared that sin must be punished, and God himself took the punishment for you and me. As much as it cost him, as much as it hurt him, that is what he did for you and me. He did what he promised to do. And that is so good to know about our God, that he's a promise keeper. Amen. I mean, you parents know this. You're at Target or Walmart or wherever, and you see these other parents, and their kids are snatching candy and taking stuff off the shelves. And what are these other parents saying? Don't do that. Stop it right now. One more time and you're going to get a SWAT. And it's like over and over again. And I've never said it out loud. But when I'm walking through Walmart and I hear that, I'm going to tell you what's in your pastor's heart. I see this debacle going on. And I think, just do it, Mom. Just do it. Just go over there and keep your word to your child. Because if you don't, listen, if you don't do it, they're learning something about you. And what they're learning about you is you do not keep your word. So as much as you hate it, I didn't ever enjoy punishing my children once in a while. I never enjoy doing that. But the reality is, it was more important to me that my kids knew the difference from right and wrong. It was more important to me that my kids knew that rebellion produces consequences, so that when they were old and it wasn't just throwing things off a shelf, but things that could wreck their life, that they knew that there were consequences to sin. So as much as it broke my heart, and it did, I followed through with them so they would know I keep my word. Well, listen, friends, our God is a much better parent than you and I ever pretend to be. He's the same way. He is righteous and just, keeping his promises. That is the message of the cross. The message of the cross is that God hates sin. Secondly, that God keeps his promises. Thirdly, get it into your heart and mind. When I consider the cross, when I look at it, when I contemplate it, when I think on the cross of Calvary, Jesus is dying for me, I see that God hates sin. I see that he keeps his promises. And thirdly, I see how valuable you and I are to the Lord. How valuable our relationship with him is. How valuable our souls are to the living God. I see this because I see what it cost him to save us. When you think about it, sin is the greatest problem God has ever had to deal with. Put sin in perspective with creation. Before God said, let there be light, there was nothing. And yet God created everything we see in the known universe. And what did it cost him? 6 days and a few words. That's it. God created the wonder of our universe in a couple of days with a few words. Words were enough for creation. Words were not enough for salvation. Salvation costs God his only son. That is huge. I have an only son. I got 3 kids, precious kids. Got my oldest daughter, Haley. She works up at Calvary Costa Mesa. Awesome. I got my son, traveling worship leader. 15 Easter services this weekend he has to do. My youngest daughter playing piano tonight. Awesome, awesome stuff. I got one son though, my only son. And I got you guys. And I love you guys. I love you with all my heart. I would do almost anything for you. I would go anywhere. I would do anything. But let my son die for you. I want to say I would. I want to say, yay. I love my kids. I love my kids. God had this intimate fellowship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he sacrificed himself. He sacrificed his son for you and I. And I see that. And I say, God willingly did that without reservation. I see how much we are valuable to God. Tonight, when you look at the message of the cross, I want you to consider what your relationship with God is worth. I want you to reevaluate that in the light of all it costs God to love you, to welcome you into his kingdom, to save you. And I want us to say, how do I respond? Do we take our relationship with God lightly? Have we gotten in just to a religious routine? Have we gotten ourselves into a rut? Have we begun to take our relationship with God lightly? When I look at the cross, when you look at the cross, when we look at the cross, we see what it costs Jesus to love us. And I begin to think, and I hope you do too, how dare I take my time in God's word as mundane? How dare I take devotions as some religious ritual? How dare I neglect entering into times of prayer and pouring out my heart to God? How dare I take worship so lightly and just think about 1,000 things I'm going to do later? How dare I take church so casually and fall asleep when things are happening? Oh, Lord, may I take my relationship with you and the spiritual disciplines I have to draw close to you. May I take them as serious as you took saving me. God, you love me. He loves you. He's for you. I say all those things not to lay a guilt trip onto you, but to wake you up to the reality of what it costs God for you to be in relationship with him. That's the message of the cross. The message of the cross is God hates sin, God keeps his promises, and how valuable you and I are to him. Now I ask you, now that we know the message, is that message foolishness to you? Is it a stumbling block to you? Or do you see it as the power of God? Because those are the only three options. But sometimes we don't get it. We don't let that sink in. And so we kind of walk this fence. It's sometimes our relationship with God, it's like, well, I'm just not that serious about it. We don't say it out loud, but we see it as foolish. Or sometimes we get a little offended. Like, God, I'm a pretty good person. But don't tell me you had to die for me. I'm a pretty good guy. And we're walking this line. We need to ask ourselves the question Elijah asked the children of Israel. How long will you falter between multiple opinions? You see, if God is really God, and he is, and if God really became a man and lived among us, and he did, and if God lived a sinless life, not just teaching and healing, but living perfection, and he did, and that God then went to a cross, and he bare the punishment of me and you and every person in this world. God treated Jesus on the cross as if he lived my life and your life so that God could treat you as if you lived his. If all those things are true, and I'm telling you, church family, those things are true, then I better see this message of the cross as power to my life, as power to my Christianity. It is time for us to stop walking a fence. It is time for us to stop faltering between multiple opinions. When we lived out in the desert and my kids were littler, it was my job to let the cat in. The cat would roam over the neighborhood. It was safe. And every night, though, it was time to come back in so she could climb into bed with my youngest daughter. And it was my job to open up the door. And that cat, always just halfway in and then stop. And I could see her look up at the dog and she's like, oh, I forgot she's in here. And she'd back up a little bit, but then, you know, the wind is on her little tail and she's like, oh, it's cold out here. And she's back. And I don't know what's going on in her mind. I think what's in her mind is like, how long will this human slave keep the door open for me? I think that's what's in her mind. But I would say the same thing. In or out, cat. In or out. Either get in or enjoy the nighttime air. But come on in. I want to go to bed. And I think the Lord would look at us, and though he's not got the attitude I have, he doesn't have the impatience I have, he would look at you and I and say, I have done so much. I have done so much to teach you that sin is something to run from, not something to tolerate. I've done so much to teach you that I am a God that keeps my word every single time. I have done so much to demonstrate to you how much I love you. And he'd say to us, in or out, friend. In or out. It's time to stop faltering between two opinions. And it's time to say, my God is real. My God hates sin. My God keeps his promises. My God loves me. So I am all in. Because of the cross, I am all in. I am all in to worship. I just want to get in there and, oh, I don't even know this song, but I don't care. I am in. I am in. When the Bible study starts, sometimes, you know, that pastor, that short little pastor goes on and on and on and on. And some. And I'm glad I'm on fire tonight because I've actually been told in the last 3 months, you're kind of boring. Listen, I know I'm ugly, but not boring. Come on. That can't be what you take away from these Bible studies. But I guess some people do. So yeah, little boring, little long-winded sometimes. But we need to move away from that and say, God, you are trying to speak to me through your word. So I want to come with pen in hand and paper ready, or at least digitally, and say, God, I want you to change me from the inside out. I want to be all into worship. I want to be all into church. I want to be all in to pray. God, as I walk with you and talk with you, Lord, fix me from the inside out. We want to be given to these things totally and completely. You see, that's how it should be. This is not foolishness. This is not stumbling. This is power. And the Greek word is dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. These truths should be dynamite to our Christian life. How? I'll close with this. How are they dynamite? Well, if the message of the cross is that God truly hates sin, then the power to my life and yours is to say, I am done tolerating sin in my heart. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. God, I want you to identify the things in my heart that offend. I want you to identify the things that I'm just kind of tolerating. They're not that big a deal. I want you to identify those things. And I want to leave them at the foot of the cross tonight where they belong. And I want to walk out of this church tonight free from those things having any influence in my life ever again. I want that to be power to my life. Amen? How can it be power to your life? To remember, God keeps his promises. And if he kept the promise that cost him himself, you bet he's going to keep the promise he made to you. You bet he's going to come through. Let that be power to your life. When you're walking around and you're thinking God isn't going to come through, God is not going to do it. Listen, I'm telling you what, Abraham raises off the pages of scripture and says, you think you waited for a long time? I waited 25 years for God to keep his word. Joseph says, I waited 13 years for God to keep his word. Well, it's been a couple of long weeks, Lord. Okay, buck up, buttercup. God keeps his word. He will keep his word to you. It's the message of the cross. Let that be power to your Christian life. Let it be power to turn from sin. Let it be power to make you believe the promises of God. And then finally tonight, let it be power for you to see how valuable you are to God. The cross says that God hates sin, and the cross also says that God loves you. He loves you. And when the enemy comes to you and says, you're not valuable to God. Man, he tells us the lies that we'll believe, huh? Because we've got all the evidence of why God shouldn't love us. I've done all these things. Why would he love me? You need to put those lies out of your heart and out of your mind and realize Jesus demonstrated his love for you. He's saying to you tonight, I love you this much. And you can leave here tonight knowing God is radically and madly in love with you. Oh, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't. I don't know if I want to. But Jesus does. And he loves you with all of his heart. He loves you. I love the Apostle John when he says, I'm the apostle that Jesus loves. I love that. Like there was a man. We can say, what? Kind of prideful there. You and I say, there was a man that understood how God really felt about him. Maybe some of you are running around like, I'm a second class citizen. I don't know if I'll ever get to heaven. That is the lie from the pit of hell. And you need to hear the truth of Jesus tonight. You are a precious son or daughter of his. He loves you. Let that be power to your Christian life. Let it be power. Let the message of the cross get you and I to run from sin tonight, to confess it, to run from it, to believe the promises of God. Even though they tarry, they're coming. And may we truly believe tonight that we are men and women loved by God. Amen. 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 You see, church, this is a good Friday. It's a good Friday because Jesus died for you. But it's a good Friday because Sunday is coming. It's a good Friday because the story doesn't end on the cross. And it doesn't end with Jesus getting wrapped in linen and put in a tomb. The story ends when Jesus rolls away that stone. And the angels say, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here, for he is risen. That's our Jesus. Amen? Amen. Such good stuff. We're going to take communion tonight. We're going to remember what Jesus did. And I just want you to know, as the worship team comes back up and they start to play, some of the ushers are, they're going to hand out the elements of communion. Would you hold them? And we'll take them together in just a minute. But there'll be a couple of minutes while they're playing and they're passing out. Just look at the bread. Look at the cup. Remember what Jesus did for you. Remember how it speaks about how he feels about sin. Remember how it speaks that he keeps his promises. And remember how it speaks how he feels about you. Amen.